Hey, this is Kyle Clark. You're listening to the podcast version of Next. Catch us live weeknights at 6 Mountain Time on 9 News and streaming live same time on 9 News Plus. Email me anytime at next@9news.com. Tina Peters is out of prison and making a mockery of Governor Polis' decision to set her free early.
I have a lot of stories. You want to hear any prison stories?
We sit down with the woman who holds the future of water in this state in her hands.
We can't take what is not there, but we also can't give what is not there.
And I'll have a word about Tuesday's primary elections, which all of a sudden have America watching Colorado. That's tonight on Next. Tina Peters is fully recovered from her brief bout with remorse, and she's back to spreading the election rigging claims that led to her breaking the law and ending up in prison. Democratic Governor Jared Polis bought the remorse claim and set Peters free early, just in time for Freedom Fest, a MAGA festival in Douglas County. Our Marshall Zellinger went to Peters' first public speech since her release.
Oh, got quiet now. Perfect timing for an interview.
We're waiting outside while Tina Peters is inside.
Ladies and gentlemen,
that's right.
Please welcome to the stage, Tina Peters.
Repeating the same election conspiracy theories that led her to break the law and land herself in prison.
You need to see how they were able to load the votes and flip votes. I'm seeing Mamdani get elected. You know, when I was running for Secretary of State and Jenna Griswold cheated the election, if we don't stand up and we don't fight back now, what happened to me will happen to each one of you. This is our 1776 moment.
Speaking at what's billed as Freedom Fest in Douglas County, Tina Peters rewrote history as to what caused her to lose her freedom.
You know, the mainstream media would tell you that I had an unauthorized person in. No, I didn't. I didn't have an unauthorized person in there. I was elected by the people. And I had an authorized person by me that
she was so confident she wasn't doing anything wrong, she turned off her security cameras and snuck in a hacker using another man's ID. Peters is not showing remorse on her post-prison speaking tour. Remorse used to be a prerequisite for clemency. Here's Peters on that topic as told to MAGA podcaster Joe Altman on his show yesterday.
Oh, you know, Polis shouldn't have let her out because she shows no remorse. No, I do show remorse. The remorse is that people that should be in prison
aren't. Yeah.
Just last night, President Trump asked his social media followers if he should compensate Peters for what she's gone through.
I've been out 25 days now from prison.
Peters' speaking tour is just getting started, so long as it's with friendly audiences.
As I said, we're happy to walk you around through the front.
After Tina comes out,
and not the inquisitive news team that was asked to get off VIP access property.
That's the protected area.
All right.
So the VIP area is.
So Peters could again be freed, this time from Freedom Fest.
I texted Peters last night, and she said an interview might be possible. That's why we were outside, because she went directly backstage after she was done on stage. I reached out to the governor's office and asked if he was duped by Peters in granting clemency. The statement I got back from a spokesman is the same we've heard, that Polis thinks she was being held too long for her opinions and beliefs, Kyle.
So obviously Peters is now free to go back to the conspiracy theories and she can cash in and monetize those. And Polis has essentially set his political legacy among Democrats on fire.
And this is exactly what people were warning about, I believe, and we're just seeing it happen in real time. And Polis is still standing by his reasoning for doing it.
All right. Marshall Zellinger, thank you. So all of a sudden, the eyes of political observers across America are on Colorado. Democratic Socialists scored key wins in congressional races in New York City this week. So now the far left is looking to Colorado's first congressional district, Denver, where Congresswoman Diana DeGette is frantically trying to fend off challenger Malat Kiros. And Colorado has its first wide-open gubernatorial primary in 8 years. Yet a lot of people are still sitting on those ballots. Only 639,000 of Colorado's 4 million active registered voters have cast a vote as of this afternoon. 51% of the ballots returned are for the Democratic primary, 36% for the Republican primary. Rest are still being processed. For the first time in Colorado history, unaffiliated voters make up the majority of registered voters. They can cast a vote in either the Republican or Democratic primary. Most unaffiliated voters have cast a Democratic ballot in the early returns by a margin of 2-1. Join me and others Tuesday night for up-to-the-minute election results and honest analysis, along with key players joining us live to share their view as the numbers come in. Our primary night coverage and analysis begins at 6 o'clock with an hour-long edition of Next. We'll have live race results from 7 to 10 p.m. on KTVD and anywhere you stream online. Colorado, it's time to vote like America's watching, because for the first time in a long time, there are actually eyes on our electoral choices. It's been more than a decade since Colorado has had races with this much interest from outside the four straight sides of our state. As Colorado Republicans have chosen increasing irrelevance and Democrats have dominated here, Colorado's general election races are mostly overlooked by the rest of America as done deals. But this primary season, it is the Democratic primaries that feature races that are getting real national attention. Democratic socialist Milot Kyros is trying to leverage Bernie Sanders' endorsement to upset 29-year incumbent Congresswoman Diana DeGette. The Democrats in the 8th Congressional District are deciding whether Manny Rutenell or Shannon Byrd is their best shot against Republican Congressman Gabe Evans in what could be one of America's closest House races come November. And then you got that wide-open Democratic primary for governor between Attorney General Phil Weiser and Senator Michael Bennet. Colorado has races with real intrigue, interest, and impact, which is why people need to turn in those ballots. Too late to mail them. You got to drop them off or vote in person like we're in the olden times, like back when Colorado was a swing state and the eyes of the country were on our elections all the time. So go vote like America's watching. Our Mark Salinger had the opportunity to sit down recently with the woman who is at the key to negotiations over the Colorado River water. This is the discussion going on with other states where the Trump administration is threatening to intervene. Here's his next conversation with Rebecca Mitchell.
What do you need to see from the lower basin states, or what needs to happen?
The deadline is not what I am afraid of. What I'm afraid of is inaction or non-response to what Mother Nature is telling us. That's the bigger fear, is that we don't all respond. And so what I'd like to see is a framework into the future that looks at what's actually happening, what the math is telling us. And that's what I want to see from the lower basin is, Do you have a plan to respond when the water isn't there?
The seven states negotiating how to divide up the Colorado River water have blown through several deadlines. The upper basin states of Colorado, New Mexico, Utah, and Wyoming want the lower basin states of Arizona, Nevada, and California to stop draining the reservoirs of Lake Mead and Lake Powell and enact stricter water-saving measures. If no deal is reached by the end of September, when the current rules expire, the Trump administration will step in and administer the rules.
Are the lower basin states using too much water?
Yes. The answer is absolutely yes. And the science and the data show that. When you look at our uses versus their uses, particularly over the last 20 to 25 years, we average about a little over 4 million acre feet per year. The lower basin is averaging over 11 million acre feet per year. And so when we talk about how do we solve this problem? We solve it that way.
Would it be bad for Colorado if the federal government came in and administered the rules and created the rules because the seven states were not able to come to an agreement?
I think what would be bad about it is that we've been able to operate in a collaborative way across the seven basin states. And I think once we hit that trip line, we may never be able to come back to being able to operate in flexible ways, and I think that's the downside.
As a society in Colorado, need to change because of the lack of water.
This isn't a crisis of this year or last year or the year before. This has been something that we've seen coming. When we say this isn't a problem, this is a problem that we didn't cause, it's because we truly didn't. The problem is at the reservoirs. The reservoirs are close to empty.
And that's because the lower basin states are using too much.
They have drained them. And what it says is that more is going out of those reservoirs than is coming in. That is simple math. We have always faced shortages in some place in the state. I think that's something to recognize. We've gotten through it. We've always been able to get through it. We need to be prepared to live with less. We need to be prepared to live with less when it's not there. We need everyone.
Mitchell's asking for mediation to help the states come to an agreement. If the federal government takes over, she says litigation is very likely. You can watch that full 25-minute conversation with our Mark Salinger on the next YouTube channel and on 9news.com. Denver celebrates Pride this coming weekend as Pride Month comes to a close. Let's take a moment first, though, for a show of support within the next community for LGBTQ Coloradans. This week's Word of Thanks Microgiving campaign supports Rocky Mountain Equality. Their mental health program, The Point, was created after several community members died by suicide. The Point connects Coloradans in need of support to LGBTQ competent mental health care. So whatever challenge they face, they understand that all of us want them here tomorrow to face that challenge head on. Our donations this week will support that nonprofit's mental health and wellness programs, which also include support for neighbors in recovery. The folks in charge at Rocky Mountain Equality told me that their segment of the community feels like they're under attack. They said every day there's something. Well, what there is today is a whole lot of support from other Coloradans. Scan the QR code on your screen or text the word thanks to 303-871-1491. We'll send you that link to join me and others in donating. We are super close to 8,000 of you signed up to make a monthly donation to the Word of Thanks Fund. You put in your info one time, pick a donation amount. Each month, we automatically split it among all the nonprofits we feature. This is now the heart of our program, adding almost $50,000 per week. A congressman in Colorado is suing to keep some legal voters from casting a ballot.
My good news for the day is we're going to be going about 150 miles an hour in just another couple of minutes.
And patients with spinal cord injuries get to take a victory lap thanks to new technology. That good news is next. A Republican congressman and a county clerk in Colorado are joining a lawsuit to disqualify some overseas voters. They claim Colorado's Democratic Secretary of State Jenna Griswold is violating the state constitution by allowing voters to register here in Colorado, even if they have never lived in the United States. Federal law allows military service members and U.S. citizens living abroad to vote in American elections. But the Republican National Committee is suing over state-level guidance for overseas voters that they say goes too far. State statute allows U.S. citizens living abroad to register to vote in Colorado, even if they have never lived in the states, as long as, quote, a parent, legal guardian, spouse, or domestic partner was a resident of Colorado before leaving the United States. Well, now Republican Congressman Jeff Crank from Colorado Springs and the GOP clerk in Douglas County have joined the RNC in a lawsuit. They say allowing these so-called never residents to vote in Colorado violates constitutional residency requirements, quote unquote, dilutes the electorate. It's not clear just how many people we are talking about, right? This is a pretty niche population. The entire pool of military and overseas voters is 1% of Colorado's electorate. Secretary of State Griswold told us that U.S. citizens living overseas, quote, have the same rights as any other American. She called the lawsuit sad and unpatriotic. Meteorologist Corey Repenhagen, you know what would be sad and unpatriotic is if some jabroni sets this state on fire for the 4th of July, and we are going to have a roasty week headed towards the holiday.
Yeah, we've got some troubling fire weather conditions coming our way. Our weather pattern is going to flip, and it's a crazy one. I'll show you that in a second. But first, let me show you what's going on radar right now. We have a few severe thunderstorms, kind of low-level storms out here on the eastern plains right now, out here on the Front Range. We've got a few storms down in the south of Denver trying to get their act together, not really showing too much potential. But our weather pattern is about to flip, and this is pretty crazy for late in June. We have very strong high pressure to the south, very strong low pressure up here to the northwest. And here's what's going to result from this storm system. We have a winter storm warning in effect for about a foot of snow in some parts of the Montana mountains. All this pink stuff here, that's fire weather warnings. That's the impact to Colorado. Heat advisories down here in West Texas. Crazy setup here for the this part of June. And that's going to last all the way till Monday. These warnings go all weekend into Monday. And our forecast forecast. It's going to stay hot. Hot weekend, dry conditions, fire weather. That's likely going to continue because look at this dry conditions and the heat continuing through the week, and it's not going anywhere straight through the end of Friday. That's your forecast.
Copy-paste hot every day. Against all odds, some spinal cord injury patients got to check an item off their bucket list today. Their good news, high speed. Next. Most of us will never take a lap in a race car. The folks who got behind the wheel at Pikes Peak International Raceway today already know something about facing a daunting challenge head on. We went there to ask our favorite Friday question. What's your good news?
We have patients of former patients of mine who are spinal cord injured who have come from around the country to drive our 850 horsepower NASCAR Cup car around the track. And these are people from with all different levels of injury. They're all getting into their fire suits because we have to have that.
Getting the opportunity to do something like this when you're sitting in a wheelchair and the chance to drive a NASCAR is beyond a bucket list. This here is just something that's unheard of.
I'm just happy to be here because it shows the world that, you know, once you're injured, like, that doesn't mean it's the end of it.
My good news is that seeing these guys come out from around the country for this event today, just a gorgeous day right here at Pikes Peak International Raceway.
My good news is that I have my client, Ken Murphy, succeed one of his dreams.
My good news for the day is we're going to be going about 150 miles an hour.
Lifts their spirits. Like, this is probably a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity for them. And just seeing the smiles on their face with this opportunity is just heartwarming.
That was awesome.
Feedback from Terrence on Governor Polis's clemency for Tina Peters and now her, whatever you want to call it, her MAGA media tour where she's spouting her election conspiracy theories. Terrence says, so Polis decided he never wants another position where he'd have to be voted on by the people of his state. He has destroyed his career. Matthias writes, can anyone explain to me why Polis did this? So I was in D.C. earlier this week with some folks who work on elections around the country, like secretaries of state and election workers and so forth, and all kinds of people asked me that exact same question. Why did Governor Polis set Tina Peters free? And I'll tell you what I've said to you here before, but what I told them. I think he did it because he thought it was the right thing to do. And the more pushback he got, the more set in his ways that he got. I don't think he was caving to Trump. I don't think there's some secret deal. I think when Jared Polis sets his mind to something, he does it. See you next time. Thanks for listening to the podcast version of Next. Catch us live weeknights at 6 Mountain Time on 9 News. Streaming live, same time, on 9 News Plus. Email me anytime at next@9news.com. Next producer is Mallory Harris. Our digital producer is Marilyn Moore. Our visual editor is Jeff Sartell. Our reporters include Marshall Zellinger, Mark Salinger, Angeline McCall, and Evan Kruel. Misty Montano is 9 News' digital director. I'm Kyle Clark. I'll see you next time.